It is May 30th, 2019, 3:41 p.m. This is a rather humbling recording to have to capture, but it is true. And I am trying to commit myself to being 100% authentic and true. And I thank God that being tempted is not a sin. Otherwise, I'd be a sinner. But yielding to temptation is a sin. But I have noticed over the last, I would say, week, I've noticed these subtle little thoughts entering into my mind about another wife. And I have tried to reject it, you know, a few times. And I've just seen myself having these thoughts, particularly this afternoon. I think it came to a head where I've had my allergy tired and I had to lay down and take a nap. And I was listening to the amazing book by Elizabeth Elliot, Suffering is Never for No Reason. I've really been enjoying that. And while I was listening, I stopped finally and I sat up, and I've been getting certain emails and certain comments and stuff like that. And I've just noticed that I've started thinking more about a different wife. And it's very hurtful for me to even admit this. It's very painful. It's very humbling. And I came out today to the Lord and I said, Father, I'm being tempted, God. Please help me in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I am not strong enough to handle this on my own. And, you know, it's when you have, again, been rejected, I'm being rejected again. And I just said, God, I really don't want to go through this again, Lord. And but nonetheless, your will be done. And I just began to thank him for it. I thanked him for the temptations. They create strong strength and courage. And I just said, God, please help me in this, Lord. I don't want to fail. And, you know, please help me. I don't want to forsake my wife. I don't want to, you know, be unfaithful to her just because she's being unfaithful to me, not even in my thoughts. And I'm not even speaking about, you know, sexual thoughts. Most everybody thinks instantly, they think of sexual thoughts. It's not even that. It's just the thought of no longer having my wife. And then perhaps, you know, is there another sister out there that actually loves the Lord, who will actually come beside me and serve with me, and wanting so much. I said, Father, just wanting so much to be loved and respected and appreciated by my wife as much as I love and respect and appreciate her. And I haven't had this. And I have not had any feelings of temptation ever in the ministry, or rather in my marriage at all, until just this past week. It's just come on me so strong. And I say so strong, I got to be so careful. It's not like domineering. I'm still doing my work, but I've just noticed that I'm having to fight against it. I'm having to be very careful. I found myself, you know, noticing a pretty girl that walked into the Starbucks the other day. And again, not lusting after her, just noticing. And it puts that little thought of, you know, I wonder if there's somebody out there. And that little thought can create more thoughts and lead you down to thinking that about more people. And before you know it, you can start to be thinking about this too much. And wanting to start to give into that desire and take action. And in particular, I think the icing on the cake for me today was I noticed that there had been a certain person that had contacted me that looked to be quite attractive and obviously is benefiting from the ministry and so forth and so on. And I started having that feeling, like I felt myself being attracted, and I'm like, no, God, please help me in this, Lord. Please help me. I mean, this is real. I'm a man who fears God, and this is real. This is actually happening to me. I'm not better than this. I'm not more righteous than people who could say, oh, that never happened to me. You know, this is real, and I'm having to fight it. And that desire to have, you know, a wife who would love and respect and appreciate me. And what's happening is that I think this is all happening because I'm at the very end of the darkest of the dark with Persis, where it looks like she has just completely and totally rejected me, that she can live in that room the rest of her life without me, or wherever it is she goes. And that I'm just done, and it very well may be. And I have to say also, God bless Elizabeth Elliot, but reading her book has really led me to believe that God is going to want to crush my second marriage. Reading her book and hearing her pray when her second husband was diagnosed with cancer, and she's like, no, God, please don't tell me we're going to go through this again. God, we've already been through this. I've already lost a husband. Are you really going to let this happen? And she says, he says, maybe. You know, like, this very well may be something I'm going to have you go through. And it was. He dies. She was only married to him for like 3.5 years, and he dies. Her second husband, she lost to death. And here I have, basically, I've lost two wives to spiritual death. And I'm looking at her story, and I'm going, oh, man. And of course, you know, I had always said, well, I'm never going to remarry, and God would just give me the grace and forget it. And then I thought, you know what? That's wrong of me to say that. What if God has another good reason for me? What if God wants to use my third marriage for something? This is what he's called me to, is to two failed marriages, and there's some heavenly illustration or heavenly purpose that I can't understand out of this. I don't know. And I see that she remarried again. I would think, man, a woman who's been widowed twice, you would think she would be really reserved on marrying again. And she did, and the final marriage lasted the longest out of all of them, and it apparently was a delightful wedding. I'm sorry, delightful marriage. And so I that opened me up to the possibility. Until I read Elizabeth Elliot's book, I could have never found myself even considering ever being married again. I mean, that's not to say that I wouldn't have eventually changed my mind, but it felt like such a failure. Like, I'm a failure. This is it. I'm almost kind of like the way it was the first time. And I'm smart enough now, and I have the wisdom of God now to know that that's not true. But man, this hurts. I found myself kind of weeping before the Lord about this. Like, God, please help me with this. Please help me, Lord. You know, I don't want to hurt my wife. I don't want to lose my wife. But it's like she's not cooperating. She's not coming back from the darkness. And you know, maybe the Lord's given her chance after chance. Oh, I love my wife. I don't want to lose her. And yet I'm having to come to grips with the fact that I very well may be losing my wife, like, permanently. And I feel like, you know, this is real. This is authentic. I don't want to hold back and try to sound more spiritual than I am, because it's true. This is painful. And I can feel Elizabeth Elliot going, God, no, please don't let us go through this again. And I feel like that's what's happening to me. That I'm getting ready to have to go through the loss of a wife again. And I, you know, it's like I want to say, God, what did I do to deserve this? Why couldn't I just have a wife that I could love and who would love me? Why does, of all the things that are screwed up in my life and of all the evils and hell that comes against me, God, why couldn't I have just enjoyed this? You know, I have felt that sometimes. I don't feel that right now. I really don't. But that's how I have felt. I've felt like, God, you know, can't I just have this one thing that works? You know, I mean, have I asked, and I've felt myself, you know, Lord, have I asked you for nice cars, nice houses, nice this, nice this? The only thing I have in my life right now is only a result of the things that God wants me to have. I have a tiny house I'm not even living in that God blessed me with, gave me the money and the knowledge on how to build it. I built it. We're not living in it. But the only reason I have that is because God called me to do that. It's funny. He called my brother Jared and Kristen into the same thing. They bought a tiny house. They sat it in storage for a long time. They followed God's will. They moved to Texas, and they're still not living in that tiny house. God still hasn't allowed them to move into that tiny house. So we both have tiny houses. We both know that we followed the Lord's will, but we're still not living in our houses yet. And we're just waiting for God to open up the door and provide a place for us to live and give us the next guidance. And that's not even something I'm concerning with. But I wish I could say I had no desire to have a wife. It's like I would almost want to know, what does it feel like to have a wife who truly loves you and appreciates you and has the same, you know, humility, who's not perfect, but who'd be willing to, when she steps out of line, to repent and come to correction before Christ, and who would truly appreciate and respect her husband who loves God and see that he's her head. And I can't even imagine what that's like. And I've wanted to look up to the Lord and say, Lord, you now know what that's like, Father. You do have a body. You do have a group over 2,000 years, Lord, that has learned to obey you and fear you and walk before you. God, please allow me to have that experience. You know, because I'm not going to get to experience that when I go to heaven. I won't get to have the opportunity to have that final experience that Jesus has had of having a bride who actually does love him and who submits to him and respects him and adores him. I mean, Jesus obviously deserves that. I'm not saying I do, but I'm saying, Lord, I've experienced so much of the loss. Please allow me to have this opportunity. I have that desire. I do. And I'm just having a moment where I've been praying to God and I said, God, please help me. Please help me, Lord Jesus Christ, to not have these thoughts, to not, you know, have this desire for another wife, God, to just stay in the one that I have no matter how long, no matter how miserable it gets, Lord. Please just give me the grace to stay put and not move away from this, not move away from the pain and not check out. And at the same time, I find myself going, no, wait a second. You know, is this possible that Father's giving me a release in my heart? Because I could never think these thoughts while I was married with Persis. So I wonder, is it possible Father is releasing my heart to begin to think and to let me go? And it's exactly the reason I thought this is because this is what happened with, oh, this is unbelievable for me to think about. Oh my goodness gracious. It occurs to me right now. God, I need your help. Father, I need your wisdom on this. God, I need your insight. Please, Lord God, don't let me speak out of my own knowledge. Don't let me put things together, Lord, that makes sense to me. Don't let me justify anything. Don't let me be deceived in the name of Jesus Christ. Please help me in this, God. Please, Father, I need you to help me in this. It occurs to me right now as I'm saying this that when I had waited for 40 months for Persis, not knowing it was Persis, I had waited 40 months for this other woman. And incidentally, she was a widow. And I believed that God had shown me she was the one. And I was always just to wait, to wait, to wait. And I did. And so it comes to this point where all of a sudden I start feeling tempted by some of these other Christian sisters. And that temptation, the desire, like they were, I was surrounded. And it's almost like the Lord knew that I had my grip so strong on this promise for this one woman that I would not look away for anything. No matter what anybody tried to do to get me to look to the left or to the right, I was no, no, no. I was holding firm to God's promise. And I can almost see how if it would not have been for those other women. This is really bizarre and it's sad for me to even say this. Based on the implications of what it might mean now, it's very sad for me. Lord, will be done, Father. But when this started happening to me, this temptations of these other attractive sisters in the Lord who really loved Jesus, and I had been treating them with the utmost of purity and with the utmost of intentions, but it was because of those women and me having to fight and God sending me. And I remember there was this one woman and she was so attractive that I cried. She had such a beautiful testimony. And when I heard her testimony, I just cried. Because I was so frustrated. I'm like, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? And then it was just a few weeks later that Persis showed up. And I can see how those other sisters were used to basically open up my heart to the possibility of somebody being my wife other than who I thought was going to be my wife. Because I was dead gripped. I was deadlocked on her. And so I can see how it's very possible the Lord did that to lift my heart. And then when Persis showed up, my heart was already open. That is a very interesting point. Very interesting point that I can look back and think that if it wouldn't have been for those times of temptation, I mean, I did not give in to the temptations, but those temptations arising loosened up my grip. Where then when God brought Persis, I was willing to step in. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness gracious, is that what's happening now? Is it possible? Because I know that I know that I know God brought me Persis. And I'm wondering, you know, is it possible that God is allowing me to be tempted. Not that he's causing the temptation. The Bible says that when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, but he allows it. And is it possible that God is allowing this for me to loosen my grip on my wife even more, to consider the possibility that I may marry again? I mean, it is so black and white. 1 Corinthians 7:15, if the unbelieving spouse leaves, the believing spouse is no longer bound. And it's the same bound, it's the same concept of being bound as it is for a woman who's married to a man and he dies. And it doesn't matter. If a person is married five times and their husband dies five times, they can remarry. And it's the same as true. And you could read James Gill's commentary. He is so clear that if a believing spouse, if you've made all attempts to keep the relationship together and the person has completely rejected Jesus Christ and they reject the marriage based on that and they walk away, the believing spouse is not obligated to remain single. They are not punished and they are not in bondage. They are free to remarry. So even if that happened 20 times, God forbid, but even if that happened 20 times, by God's eyes, just like if you had 20 widows, you are free to remarry again if you're left by an unbelieving spouse. So I would have a right, regardless of what other people thought about it, to marry again. And I could not have considered this until I have read Elizabeth Elliot's book. The idea of her losing two husbands to death and remarrying a third time was just mind-blowing to me. I could not believe it, but it opened up the door for me to consider this possibility. And so, you know, this is really, I have come out and prayed and I said, Lord, please, you know, help me with these temptations. God, please help me to put them down and help me not to have these tempting thoughts towards another wife. Lord, let me stay committed to my wife until she's completely gone and you've made it very clear there's no hope. And help take these thoughts out of my mind and give me rest. And, you know, like Jesus told the disciples, come and pray that you do not fall into temptation. So I came out and I prayed, and praise the Lord, I felt the relief. You know, God answered my prayer. He gave me some relief. I'm able to make this recording. I mean, you know, it's so hard for me to believe that, you know, like Persis texted me today. She's like, do you want some pizza? She made some pizza, and, you know, she just makes the pizza. She left some out for me. I said, yeah, thank you. But there's nothing there. She's dead. It's so sad. And I think to myself, you know what? Maybe she is just completely dead. And that God is not going to... that God has tried to warn her. He's tried to rebuke her. And she's just stubborn. But, you know, you wonder, like, will this ever turn around? You know, are they ever actually going to come out of this spiritual cancer? Or are they going to just die? It's really, really, really difficult. But God will get me through. I know He'll get me through. He always does. And I also recognize that I could be under extra pressure because I've been working so hard to try to finish this project. And I'm almost done. I think I've put up through recording number 43 today, I believe. And so I'm almost done. There's only so many more recordings I can put up before I've caught up with the story real time. And you know, Father just continues to tell me to tell the story, but I have no idea what to think about this. I have to just wait and trust. But, you know, I don't want to be in ministry single. I don't want to be in ministry single and always wondering, you know, or having perhaps a sister who's single wondering. I don't want that. I remember one minister who I respected, you know, he cried out to the Lord as he was speaking in front of an audience. And he said, Lord, it's a distraction for me to be single with these women sitting in the audience. Father, give me a wife. And I remember, my goodness gracious, I cried out that same thing to the Lord. You know, so if he was going to keep me in ministry, that I would have a wife. But, you know, I'd really like to have a helpmate. I'd really like to have a helpmate. Like, I can't even imagine. I've never had a wife who could actually help me. I've never had a helpmate. I mean, my ex-wife was as close as I've ever had where she helped in the business, but man, that was just with poison. That was working with a snake that you have to always be so careful around. But there was no love in that. But oh, I would like to know what that is like. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what it would be like to have a wife who's not perfect, but a wife who's humble enough and not taken captive by the devil for some way so that she could actually give of herself to Christ, to her husband, to the ministry. God, what a dream come true. And you know what? If God willed it, I would be willing to remarry in order to experience that. If that's what God had for me, I would be willing to remarry and walk away. I'm not going to hold on to Persis and death grip her if the Father is trying to take her away. I've told him, Father, your will be done. I've believed him for resurrection and he can do it, but if he decides not to do it, if it turns out to be that he wants me to go through this death again, you know, and this is one point, this is the most important point I want to capture. I meant to capture this the other day. God help me in Jesus' name. You know, when I was listening to this recording by Elizabeth Elliot, it occurred to me that Persis rising from the dead and coming back and, you know, humbling herself before me and before God and recognizing that she's a sinner in need of repentance and that she has disrespected, that she was taken captive by the devil through her own fears and her own spirit of rebellion and independence. And if she confessed it all, that's the story that almost all of us want to hear on this earth. Almost all of us want that kind of Cinderella ending story in our life. We want to hear of God's miraculous, he healed the cancer. You know, he removed the brain tumor. He helped you to get through your college program. He provided the finances. He came through with this miracle. He restored the relationship. He fixed the marriage. Completely healed and the broken heart and took away all the pain. We want so badly for that to be the answer. And many times that is not, as a new covenant Christian, that is not God's plan. And that the greater glory is for God to let that thing die. And for you to find yourself still standing, still believing, still trusting, still loving God, still praising Him. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall we receive good from God and not evil? Even though He slay me, yet will I hope in Him. I recognize that is the greater glory. And I have to say, I was a little bit intimidated, not bad, but I also recognize the deep truth and the possibility that this will happen in my life. When I heard Elizabeth Elliot say, when speaking to God about her husband's cancer diagnosis, husband number two, and when she's speaking to God about this and the widowhood, reflecting back on Jim Elliot and him being speared to death and dying, and why God allowed this to happen. She said something to the effect of that God wanted to bring glory to Himself through that loss. That there would be a glory that He could bring Himself through her widowhood for that season that He couldn't without. And perhaps there's a glory that God wants to bring into my life through the death of a second marriage. It doesn't seem right. In all human understanding, no, everything we say is, no, God, restore, redeem, turn around, raise up, bring back to life, resurrect. Fix this, God. And I have to realize that it may not be, as much as I love my wife, versus as much as I want to see her come back to life, that it may not happen. It very well may not be God's will, that God may have already planned to truly send her off, and I might be living on some sense of false hope. That, and God may resurrect her down the road, but apart from me, I don't know. I have no idea what tomorrow holds. I'm at a place right now where, just like where am I going to live? I have no idea where I'm going to live, and I have no idea who I'm going to be living with. I have no idea if I'll be living by myself or with my wife. This is a very difficult and time of darkness where I don't know, and I have to trust in the Lord God Almighty. And But I'm trying to capture a picture of how it feels in the moment when I'm having these thoughts. This is real. These are real struggles. These are real questions. Now, I'm going to put my eyes right back on Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to sink into despair over this. I'm going to pray about all this, and I'm going to continue to wait and persevere and be really careful to not take action. And I am thankful that right now I don't feel any sense of enticement or my own nature, my own will pulling me towards one direction. I am open before the Lord, willing to embrace whatever He wants to give me. But I can say for sure that I feel that in my heart right now, my wife is dead. And there's nothing for us unless God raises her. It's like, unless God is pleased to let this spiritual cancer be healed, unless He removes this spiritual tumor from her, then she's gone. I find it very ironic that God has taught me this principle of spiritual death, and He seems to have put so much emphasis and have given me so much insight and revelation into it. I'd never heard of anybody compare physical death to spiritual death in any real meaningful way. I never have ever heard anybody connect spiritual death to why God allows some marriages to fail and why a man or woman is capable of remarrying again. Because, see, man looks only on the outside, thinks only of the life here and now, the temporary life, whereas God is all about the eternal and all about the spirit. And how the Bible says over and over about people that are here physically, but that they're spiritually dead. The widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. There's many instances of this where God speaks of spiritual death. And it's possible that my wife has sinned and died. And then I have to ask myself, you know, why would I have seen all these am I just seeing what I wanted to see when I'm seeing all these devotions about resurrection and to keep the faith? And I've been seeing 18:1 a lot, 1:8:1. And I looked up Luke 18:1. Jesus taught His disciples to always pray and never give up. So, Father, I'm just going to always pray and never give up. I am standing here before You, Father, having no idea what You're going to do. Totally open to whatever You want to do. Father, just keep me in Your will and may Your will be done. And I'm going to continue to pray and never give up. On one hand, I'm at this place where equally I feel I'm supposed to continue to persevere and wait for God to resurrect my wife and keep the faith. Versus God is allowing me to feel a desire for a marriage beyond the marriage I have, and bringing me to a place of acceptance that this one is dying and will be dead, but that there will be another one, that there will be life after this. I'm standing right now having no idea. Nobody does. Nobody on the planet knows what God's will is in this situation except for God. I don't know, and certainly nobody else does. But time, if I will just persevere, will know. And that's where I'm going to end this recording. May God's will be done. Jesus, I'm counting on You for You to keep me in Your will, for You to keep me by faith, to not let me be tempted in any way outside of what Your perfect will is in this situation. May it be to me according to Your will and my faith therein. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.